warmed up here. 104. 104, the chorus book, the point of joy.
Yeah.
us so.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
because the children can, there's only one child. We dismissed them for class today.
Right there, but these are written, the things that are written are the miracles that are written through the book of John. Those miracles were written, those signs, verse number 30, the verse before the one they're memorizing says that these signs were written. We don't need to see miracles today to know that the Lord is who he is. We read of what he already did. Amen. Thank God for that, isn't it? John wrote some good books. John, the book of John itself is the emphasis. I think they say it's about 99 times the word believe is in John. The whole emphasis of John is to make believers out of people. Amen. And then I think 1 John, 2 John, 3 John are really good books that have to do with encouraging God's people on how to live, you know, how to live for the Lord. And when we do, by the way, we get the assurance of our salvation. And then John also wrote the book of Revelation, which talks about what the future holds. Amen. So a lot of good books there. But anyway, we're in the book of Matthew this morning. If you would, Matthew chapter number 18, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We had a little, we had a skip in our program, right? And we're talking about one another, as you well know, in Sunday school. And the two major thoughts about one another, well, the one we've been focusing on is probably the most important thing, and that is that we need to love one another. Amen? Love one another. In the church, if you're saved, you're in the Lord, and those of us that are in the Lord, we're in the Lord together, and we need to learn to love one another. Amen? And that's the great emphasis. And we talked about the fact that loving one another involves receiving one another. And we know what that means. We have to receive one another. They don't have to dot every I like we do, cross every T like we do. Now, fundamentals of the faith, we agree on that. Amen? There's no doubt about that. In fact, when we talk about the fundamentals of the faith, we're talking about things that you have to believe in order to be saved. Amen? But we've talked about Romans 14 and that there are some issues that aren't issues. There are some differences that make no difference. Amen? And so we need to receive one another. That's a part of loving one another, by the way. That's showing hospitality. That's greeting one another. And then we also talked about the fact that we need to prefer one another. We need to put one another first. Naturally, in the flesh, we all want to be first. That's not a new problem, by the way. Jesus dealt with that. Those that want to be first are going to find themselves being what? Last. Amen. Those that want to will be last, they'll find themselves being first. It's amazing how in God's economy, things are totally different. You want to go up, you got to go down. You know, he that lifts himself up, God said, I'll what? I'll humble you. I'll bring you down. But if you'll not put yourself down, you understand that. But if you'll know what you really are and be humble, then God will what? Lift you up. You know, it's amazing. If you want to get, sometimes you got to give. It's amazing how God's economy is like totally different than ours. Amen. And so preferring one another is putting others first. And when you and I put others first, God can use us to help one another. And that's important. And so preferring one another, we talked about, involves considering one another and caring for one another. And that's what we need to do. We also said that loving one another is not only involved receiving one another and preferring one another, loving one another also involves forbearing one another. And you know what that means in simplicity? Putting up with one another. Amen. We got to put up with one another. Isn't it the truth? There are things about people that we don't like. And here's the killer. There are things about us that people don't like. But we don't want to hear that. Because the things that people don't like about me, there's no justification in that. You understand? There are, I don't even know how to say it, but idiosyncrasies, I think they call them. There are things that people do that, oh, I just wish they wouldn't do that. That bothers me. I hate the way they do that. Listen, there are families that live with each other. I know a particular person that cannot stand when a person eats and they make noise when they put the utensils in their mouth. Anybody have that problem here? I mean, you don't have to testify to that. I know people that do that. It bothers them. Well, let me tell you something. If you have a husband, wife, or children that sit at the dining table, guess what? You're going to have to learn to put up with some things. Amen. You can't say you're not going to eat no more in this house, you know, because you're basically giving them a death sentence there, right? The fact of the matter, there are things that people do, the way people, that we don't. I mean, it's not necessarily that sinful for them. It's just that it's the opposite of what we maybe have learned or maybe we do. And we have to really put up with one another. Which way does the toilet paper go? Oh, it goes on the roll. There's no doubt about it. Does it go toward the wall so you scratch the wall every time you get it? Or does it hang over loose and free, which I don't like? Now, I noticed some things in this men's room. I've changed it a couple times. And guess what I found? The very same day, somebody changed it around. I have my suspicions. I really do. And they're not evil surmising. I really believe I know who it might be. And, but stubborn. Can I get a witness on that one? At the house, I have to, you know, sometimes I don't know who it is in my household. I really don't know. They put it on and I'm like, I mean, forever, I turn it around. Okay. Now the thing is, it's not right or wrong. Although somebody said they figured it out, they found an actual, writing of when somebody designed it and said it's supposed to be outward. I don't believe it though. To me, that's a conspiracy theory. I'm serious. You'll find that next to many others. They ought to do a survey on that. But nonetheless, what I'm saying to you is we have to, what? Put up with one another. And if you have young children at your house or teenagers, you got to put up with them until they can make them socks into the hamper. Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, my goodness. But nonetheless, preferring one another, putting up with one another. And we've been focusing on this, and we said we're going to continue this morning. Loving one another involves receiving one another, preferring one another, forbearing one. By the way, do I do this? No, but I'm praying that God help me to do this more. I'm not perfect at all of this. By the way, the preacher's not perfect at all of this. But we have to pray, God help us. Amen. We've been talking about not only these things, but one of the things that loving one another involves, and that's forgiving one another. We have to forgive one another. And by the way, that really goes with the putting up with one another. Because what I put up with you, not you particular, I got people in my mind. The sock guy, you know, and all them others. What I put up with, I also have to forgive them of that. By the way, if I don't forgive them, guess who's not going on? Oh, they're going on. And they're going to continue throwing their socks that way, whether I forgive them or not. The lack of forgiveness is going to what? It's going to hurt me, right? Forgiving one another. This is one of the major things. Listen, divorces are a result of a lot of this, not forgiving each other. Many church splits and church fights and family fights. I mean, I know some Christian families, they could make Christian soap operas. Can I get a witness? You know? Serious, all in our family, you know, how as the family, you know, watch the stomach turns or whatever. It's I'm serious. I mean, there's some, it's only for Christian TV though. Forgiving one, that's what we need to do. Matthew chapter number 18, if you would. We are going to read this morning what we had already read last time we were here 2 weeks ago. I just want to read the story again about forgiveness. And what I'd like to do, because we're talking about forgiving one another, I have an acrostic on the word forgive. And I'm just going to try to touch on the acrostic of it. The acrostic means this. I take the word forgive and I just give you a word that begins with like F. O-R. And what I'm talking about is biblical forgiveness. Listen, we got to be careful because there's an unbiblical forgiveness. This is the one we come up with. This is the one the world comes up with. But then there's a way of forgiving according to the Bible. Amen. By the way, we got to be careful not only in forgiveness, but in any area of life. We have our own, and then there's the Word of God, what it says we ought to do. Amen. And so we as Christians hopefully want to find what God wants us to do and how God wants us to do it and do it that way, because obviously that's the best way for it to be done. Amen. Forgiving one another. Look at Matthew chapter number 18, if you would. And we'll begin in verse number 21. I think the context begins in verse 15, but I want to skip some things. Look at verse number 21. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, if you will, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? By the way, that's a question right there. Peter's like, look, how long? But basically he's saying this. How many times do I have to put up with this? Imagine asking the Lord that. How many times do I have to? You know, there's a question that needs to come to my mind when I think about this question. And that is this. How many times do I want to be forgiven? You know, if Peter would have turned that around, he might have been made have been a little bit more merciful in his quotation. Look at verse number, or I should say estimation. Look at verse number 21 as he goes on. He says, and by the way, he throws in his own thing there. He said, till seven times. And so Peter's given a suggestion. You know, Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother? How many times do I have to forgive this? And so Peter throws out seven times. And we talked already about this. It is believed that the Pharisees of that day, they really believed that if you forgave about three times, you are really, really good. So I think Peter is saying, let's go above the Pharisees. Now, he might be above the Pharisees, but he's way under God. Amen. And so when it comes to how often should I forgive, I might throw out a short number. When it comes down to how often I'd like to be forgiven, well, that number gets a little bit bigger. Amen. And here's what Jesus said in verse number 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. By the way, the Lord immediately jumped in there and said, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Don't make it like that. I'm saying that. He goes on to say in verse number 22, but until 70 times 7, which is 490, I believe, right? 490. Say, what is Jesus saying? Is he saying you can put up with a brother for 490 times of his sin in a day and then, you know, start over the next day? No. This is exaggerated expression. It's called hyperbole. In other words, it's the sky's the limit. You need to forgive and I need to forgive all the time, as many, amen? Now look at verse number 23 as he goes on. He tells this story, this parable, if you will, about forgiveness. And he says this, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. And that's a lot. But for as much as he had not to pay. And by the way, there's a great picture of forgiveness. We've sinned against God, and our sins against God are a lot. And by the way, we don't have what it takes to pay it either. Nobody can pay for their sins, amen? But verse number 25, his Lord commanded him to be what? To be sold, and his wife and his children. You know what that means there? Him to be sold, and his wife to be sold, and his children to be sold. Slavery. They ought to be sold into slavery to pay off the debt. He said, sell them. By the way, it's amazing how our family is affected by our debt. Not only our debt of finances, but our debt of lack of forgiveness. Look at verse number 25. He says, goes on to say, and all that he had, sell everything he has as well, family and all that he has, and payment to be made. Verse number 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And there's the key to forgiveness right there. God forgives because God loves. We ought to forgive because we ought to love as well. He was moved with compassion and he what? Loosed him. He forgave him. The debt, the Bible says, verse number 28. But the same servant, the man who just got all that forgiveness, he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. That's nothing compared to what he owed. And he had laid hands on him and he took him by the throat saying, pay me that thou owest. Verse number 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And verse 30 says, and he would not. And by the way, there's the key to many of the problems. We often say this, I can't forgive that person for that thing. And that's not the truth. The truth is he would not forgive. There's a difference between what you can do and what you will do. Can I get a witness on that one? And that's the truth, isn't it? We have to be honest. Now, there are some things that seem very impossible to forgive. There are situations in other people's families and lives. I sit back and say, I have no idea how you could forgive that. I know an individual whose husband cheated on her. Had a child with somebody else. This woman forgave him, received them back, treats his other child like this child's one of her own. I sit back, be honest with you. I sit back and I wonder how in the world. Amen. The fact of the matter is, we sometimes say, I will not forgive. Not that I cannot. Amen. Now it says on, as we go on, where are we at? Verse number, 30. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now here's something unique. I didn't notice it till this morning as I reread the text. The first man who was indebted was told to be sold and his family to be sold and everything he had to be sold that the debt would be paid. This guy put the man in prison until everything would be paid. And so you say to yourself, hold on a minute. He actually made it harder for this guy. How's he supposed to pay the debt when he's in jail? You know what I mean? So it must have been made it almost an impossible thing. By the way, that's what mercilessness does. Mercilessness. Amen. It really don't care. It makes you really, really suffer. Look at verse number 32. I'm sorry, verse number 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Somebody saw it and somebody reported it. You know that guy you just forgave? for all that you have forgiven him? Well, he went out and he would not forgive a man who owed him very little. And you know, if you can see the picture, God has forgiven us so much. And by the way, only we know all that God has forgiven us. In fact, we don't want everybody else to know all that God has forgiven us. Amen? And we don't have to let anybody know. That's why we're not Catholics, by the way. Amen? We don't tell another man. We tell the Lord, amen, our sins, and confess our sins to the Lord. But I know what God has forgiven me. And when somebody sins against me, it's in comparison to all that I've done against God, it's nothing. But a lot of times I don't take that all into considerations at the moment that I'm being hurt and so on, right? Maybe we need to learn to. Look at verse number 32. And then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. By the way, that's all. He was forgiven just because he had asked to be forgiven and desired to be forgiven. Isn't that something? And by the way, there's salvation right there. Look at verse number 33. He said, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Verse number 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone, his brother, their trespasses. Let me give you an acrostic on the thought of biblical forgiveness. When you think of the word F, here's what I think of. Biblical forgiveness, right, is found right in that verse that we just read, the last verse, from the heart. Here's what he says in verse number 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do unto you if you what? From your hearts forgive not. So biblical forgiveness is forgiveness that really is from the heart. When I think of from the heart, I think of this. Well, first of all, you think of love, obviously, because love is connected with the heart. And by the way, love shall cover what? A multitude of sin. But not only do I think of, and by the way, that's what love does. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, talks all about what charity or what love does. We find it hard to believe that parents forgive their children for the things they do. Well, the reason they do is because they love them. Amen? The reason they do is because they love them. From the heart is not only a matter of love, but I also think that it has to do with sincere. Sincere. I think there's a fake forgiveness. Amen. You ever been there? Oh, yeah. It's not real. You can say it. By the way, anybody can say. Can I get a witness? Anybody can say anything. But sincere forgiveness is forgiveness that comes from the heart. Let me give you another word. Not only we have F from the heart, but O, here's what biblical forgiveness is. Ready? We think of O, we think of ongoing. 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 And that's the text we just read in Matthew 18, verse 21. How oft shall I forgive my brother that he sins against me? 70 times 7. Ongoing. 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 I don't know how in the world the Lord does it. Can I get a witness on that one? I don't know how the Lord does it. I'll tell you what, you know, when we go to the Lord a lot of times with our sin, especially with our ongoing sin that we confess all the time, you know, we often say, Lord, I did it again, right? Again. Now, thank God for the truth of the Word of God. I wonder how in the world the Lord, I mean, because I did it again, I just don't know how he ain't not done putting up with me. But you know what the thing is, according to Scripture? When we confessed it the last time, according to Scripture, he forgave it and forgot it. So it's not again. Amen? I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I've cast them in the depths of the sea. I've cast them behind my back in reference to the nation of Israel. When something's behind your back, no matter which way you turn, you never see it. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath I removed their transgressions from them. Amen? So what he's saying is, it's not over and over again because we've been forgiven already. Amen? Now the problem is, when you sin against me that many times, I don't seem to have that kind of amnesia. Amen? It seems like to me it's been calculating and building up, and I've been holding an account. Do you ever find yourself figuring out I have. Amen. It's ongoing. And by the way, when we talk about this type of forgiveness, I'll tell you what we need. We need help. We need the Lord to help us with this. Amen. F, it's from the heart. O, it's ongoing. And then here's another word that biblical forgiveness is. And here's the key. It's releasing. 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 Now, here's what I find. Look at verse number 27. Here's what it says. Then the Lord of that servant, and this was the man who the king first took an account and said, hey, you owe me. And this man fell down and pleaded for forgiveness. Then the Lord of that servant was moved in compassion. Here's what it says. He what? Loosed him. Let him go. Let it go. Amen? In the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus chapter number 16, they would get two goats. We call them scapegoats. By the way, Jesus is our scapegoat. Amen? He took the blame. He took the guilt and the judgment for us, and we escape. They take two goats. One's going to die, one's going to live. And they both pictured Christ, the death of Christ and then the resurrection of Christ. And the one, the high priest would place his hands over the goat and confess the sins of the nation. Symbolically, the sins of the nation would go on that goat, and that goat would be killed. They would take the other goat and put their hands over him, symbolically transferring the sins of the nation on that goat. And a fit man, a strong man, would slap the back of that goat, and that goat would run off, never to come back, taking our sins away, or their sins away. And that's the picture. As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. When it comes to the one goat that had to be gone, here's what the term says in Leviticus 16. I can't remember the exact verse, but it says, let go the goat. That's what it says. Let go the goat. You see, if somebody's holding on to the goat that's bearing the sins, if we don't let that goat go, them sins are going to be there, right? Let go the goat. Loose them. Let them go. You and I have to let people go who've sinned against us. Let them go. Just release them. Amen? Release them and what they did. It ain't worth holding on to. Amen? Biblical forgiveness is from the heart, F. It's ongoing. It's our releasing. It would be nice if we could release some things, right? Because we keep remembering a lot of times. And by the way, some things are like what we call peeling a scab off of our, you know, the sore. It's just right? Boy, if we, by the grace of God, could release the situation and let it go. From the heart, ongoing, releasing. And then G, when we think of the word forgive, we think of G. Here's what biblical forgiveness is. It's God-like. God-like forgiveness. This is biblical forgiveness. God-like forgiveness. Now, the question is, by the way, before we look at the question, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, please. This is the kind of forgiveness we need to have. We need to have forgiveness that's from the heart. It's sincere and it's from love. And it's ongoing, constantly forgiving. It's releasing, letting people go and letting circumstances go and just forget about it. That almost sounded like something from Philadelphia, didn't it? Just forget about it. I want you to look at Ephesians, if you would, chapter number 4. Biblical forgiveness is God-like forgiveness. And by the way, this is the kind of forgiveness we need to have one toward another. No doubt about it. And the thing is, in order for me to have God-like forgiveness, I got to get rid of me. Can I get a witness on that one? I need to die to myself. Be dead indeed unto self, but alive indeed unto God. Amen. Because there ain't going to be no God-like forgiveness coming from me if I'm the one that's alive, amen, and I'm the one that's making the decisions on this, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 32, Ephesians 4, 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. There's the love, right? Forgiving one another. What's the next statement? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Basically this, forgive one another as God has forgiven you. Now here's the question. How does God forgive me? Now, I can't ask a question without having an answer for you. And here's one of the ways that God forgives me, and he forgives you this as well. He forgives us mercifully. Mercifully. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, Jeremiah said. Amen. Psalm 103, verse number 10 and 11. In fact, turn there if you would, please. Psalm 103, here's how God forgives, and here's how we need to learn to forgive mercifully. Psalm 103. Oh, that we might be merciful in our forgiveness. Amen. Sometimes we want to make people pay in the way we forgive them. Psalm 103, look at verse number 10 and 11. He, referring to God, hath not dealt with us after our sins. By the way, you know what mercy is? Not getting what I rightfully deserve. When God forgives me, he doesn't give me what I rightfully deserve. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. It's amazing because the difference between sins and iniquities are willful sin. I mean, really, because of our sin, we deserve, but he doesn't give us. Look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him or respect him. God forgives us mercifully. Listen, listen to Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? You know what that is saying? If God gave any of us what we rightfully deserve, nobody would stand. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Amen. When I think of the forgiveness of God and in reference to his mercy, I always think of the picture of the woman taken in adultery. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. You remember the woman taken in adultery. You remember the Pharisees, how they found this woman, supposedly this woman and this man, obviously in the act of adultery, but they only brought the woman. And they threw her down before Jesus and they said, the law says that she should be stoned, but what sayest thou? What are you going to do about this? And Jesus scooped down and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. But they continued, obviously continued trying to, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And you remember what happened? He said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. He stooped down again, by the way, and wrote again as well. And beginning at the eldest unto the younger, they began to drop the stones and walk away. Why the eldest? Because he was older, had a lot more sins he knew about. And they began to drop the stones and walk away. And he said to the woman, where are those unaccusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I. By the way, he didn't condone what she was doing, but he didn't condemn her. Go and sin no more. In fact, encourage her not to do it again. How could he let her go? Because he was going to take her place. How could he be merciful and not give her what she rightfully deserved? Because he was going to take what she deserved. There's a song we sang. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. This woman could have wrote that song. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Amen? That woman could have wrote that song. You know, there's been great debate. Here's one of those Romans 14 things. It doesn't matter what you think Jesus wrote. Some got this idea. He drew a picture of a fish. And that's why you got it on the back of your bumper. I don't think that's what he wrote. Because then he'd have to make a school of fish. Scoop down again and maybe draw another one. One guy says, I believe he started writing down the sins of these individuals that wanted to kill this woman. And I mean, that'd be a lot of writing. I don't know that that would be the case. I'll tell you what my opinion is, what he could have wrote that made those men feel convicted. He could have wrote down two commandments in which all the law hang. Number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment. And then the second time he wrote, he might have wrote, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commands contain all the commands. They're enough to convict anybody. Those men would have saw that and realized, I fall short of the glory of God too. Amen? Nonetheless, we need to forgive God. Like, how does God forgive? He forgives mercifully. And then here's another way he forgives. He forgives graciously. Mercifully means this. He doesn't give me what I rightfully deserve. Graciously means this. He gives me what I don't deserve. Here's what forgiveness is, graciously. The prodigal comes home. He says, I've lost everything in my sin. And Father, I'm not worthy. And the Father, we know he forgave him. But he said, go get a robe, go get a ring, go get shoes. Let's show grace to this young man. Mercy is, I'm not giving him what he rightfully deserves. He's not going to be a servant. He's still my son. But I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to give him something on top. Man, imagine that. Somebody offends you. Somebody hurts you. Somebody does you wrong. You forgive them. And then you say, here, take your family out for dinner. Can I get a witness on that? I'm glad God forgives me like that. I often pray that God have mercy on me and then be gracious to me and help me. Amen. In fact, isn't that what Hebrews 4 says? Come to obtain mercy and then find grace to what? Help in a time of need. You come to the throne, you get mercy. Before you leave, you get grace to help you. Amen. And that's exactly how God forgives. And that's how we need to forgive. And may God help us in this. I got to move on. Forgiveness is F, from the heart. It's O, ongoing. It's R, it's releasing. G, it's God-like. I, here it is. It's immediate. Immediate. Boy, when we don't forgive immediately, oh my. Can I get with? Hey, listen, we could send smoke signals from our head. The things that I would like, don't let it. Immediately. Here's a great verse. Psalm 80. Matter of fact, turn here if you would. We're almost done. Hang in there. Bear with me. Psalm 86. We are almost done. Psalm 86. We need to forgive immediately. You know, I think, by the way, God forgives immediately. Immediately when we confess it, he forgives it. Amen? He forgives it immediately. But God, it says in this verse here, he does something that allows him to forgive immediately. Psalm 86, look at verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good. And what's the next statement? Ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You know what God is? Ready to forgive. Do you know the prodigal's father was ready to forgive? He didn't have to be mustered up. He didn't have to be prepped up. He was already ready, already prepared to forgive. Can I tell you what probably helps the Lord be ready to forgive? He knows we can't live perfect in this body. Do you know what would help us to be ready to forgive? To know that we're still human beings and we all make mistakes. Why are we surprised? I can't believe how they said this and did that. I just can't. I thought they were angelic. I thought they were impeccable, which means they can't sin. Are you? Oh, I just pointed four of them at me. Are you? Hey, you know what it means to be ready to forgive? To say, I understand I'm a human being. And I'm sinful and I'm going to offend people. But I also have to understand others are human beings that deal with me. And they're going to offend me. It's got to be expected. Amen? Forgive immediately. From the heart, ongoing, releasing, God-like, immediate, V. When you think about forgive, the biblical forgiveness is valuable. Valuable. I mentioned this earlier. When we don't forgive, we're the ones that suffer. You know that person you got an issue with that won't forgive? They're enjoying life probably right now. I forget the illustration. Me and Brother Sam were talking 2 weeks ago. He gave me an illustration. I got to get that one and write it down so I can tell people the Lord gave it to me. But nonetheless, people, when I don't forgive, guess what? It hurts me. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 17. Please, Proverbs chapter number 17. Unforgiveness hurts you more than the one you won't forgive. Amen? Proverbs chapter number 17. Forgiveness is valuable. It is, get this, good for me. It's good for me to forgive you. Oh man, I live in the city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia. And I mean Philadelphia. Across the street from my house, we have a lot, auto body mechanic or whatever, but we have a patch of grass and everybody brings their dog there to do their business and they don't clean it up. Can I get a witness on that one? Now, they might not care. They might not care. We park our vehicles on that side. They could care less. I care. I really do. I mean, I will tell them too. Not unkind or mean. I'll say, you got to clean that stuff up. We, you know, have our vehicles over and everything. But I can't let this get to me too much. I'm serious. I mean, my personality, things can get to me. I'm serious, and things can get to me. How in the world do you do that, you know? And many other things we have going on in our city of Philadelphia. But nonetheless, there are times, you know, with parking issues. If you have a driveway, thank God. Does anybody have a driveway in here? Thank God. Amen. In our city, we have a lot of parking issues and on our blocks and so on. And I can't constantly be fighting these things in my mind and heart. There are times, you know what I do? I'm done. I'll park somewhere else if I have to. It ain't worth it. Amen? It ain't worth it. And when it comes to lack of, you know, forgiving somebody that's offended, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Look at Proverbs 17. It's not going to do you any good. And I said Proverbs 17 and I was wrong. 100% wrong. It's Proverbs 11. Yeah, oh, thank you. Oh, I found forgiveness. I found forgiveness when I found the Lord. Look at Proverbs 11. Look at verse number 17. The merciful man. By the way, that when you talk about being merciful, you're talking about forgiving, right? Watch this. The merciful man doeth good to what? His own soul. When you think of the word soul, many times you think of the intellect, emotion, and will. They're all connected to your being. When you're merciful, you think better, you feel better, you decide better. When you're having a lack of forgiveness and you're mad and you're angry, your thoughts ain't right, your desires ain't right, and your decisions usually ain't right. Can I get a witness on that one? Watch this. Look at the rest of the verse. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. But he that is cruel, might I say, the lack of forgiveness, he that is cruel, what does he do? He troubleth his own what? His own flesh. Our bodies aren't made to be bitter. They say bitterness tremendously affects your digestive system. When you're bitter and angry and unforgiving, you just can't sleep good. You can't sleep right. You can't eat right. You know what I mean? It's not good for us physically at all. I'll say this when it comes to the value. Forgiving others is good for us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and also, might I say, socially. When you're an unforgiving person, you're not going to have many friends. Because once people catch on to that, they'll say, whoa, don't connect with them, and they just hold grudges too long. I got to close with this one, and I'm done. I wrote down this. This was the hardest one to figure out. Maybe I don't have it right yet, but I put down encompassing. Biblical forgiveness is encompassing. And then after that, I put all encompassing. See, what does that mean? Biblical forgiveness forgives everyone of everything. Amen? Everyone, everything. By the way, that's how God forgives. Whosoever will. And all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men. The only thing God can't forgive is our unbelief as sinners, if you will. If people die in a state of unbelief, they can't be forgiven. Amen? And so may God help us to be truly forgiving one to another. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Father, forgive us and help us to be the kind of people that love and forgive each other the way we ought to, for our sake and for the sake of each other as well. Lord, we pray you'll bless our few moments of fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.